This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. For today's segment in our Music and Technology series, we're going to step briefly into the NPR Wayback Machine. 25 years ago, All Things Considered host Noah Adams wanted to find out what it was like to perform in a recording studio. He worked up the courage to sing the Eagles song, Take It to the Limit, and then played it on the air for our colleague Susan Stamberg.
I know it's funny, but...
Oh, no! It's adorable!
See, this has been a...
I want to listen.
Keep on turning out and burning out and churning out the same.
You hear that high note in the background? That's me. You know, singing in a professional studio is harder than you think.
Show me a sign. Take it to the limit. One more time.
I tried to sing the song solo a few weeks ago at Avatar Studios in Manhattan. We wanted to know what could be done with a studio tool that wasn't around when Noah sang. It's called Auto-Tune. In a few minutes, you'll hear the results, but first a little background. The company Antares makes the software, but Auto-Tune has become a generic term that refers to just about any kind of pitch correction electronics. It was invented by Andy Hildebrand, an engineer who spent 13 years in the oil industry. In a 2004 interview with NPR, he explained that the software uses a mathematical formula called autocorrelation.
That computation allows oil companies to use seismic data to map subsurface strata to find oil.
It also helps recording engineers electronically to find the correct pitch for singers and instruments. If you don't know about Auto-Tune, you're not alone. In a recent interview, even singer Aretha Franklin admitted she'd never heard of it, but no doubt you've heard it. One producer estimated that it's used by at least 60% of today's recording artists. And when that software is cranked to the extreme, it sounds like this. That was Cher's hit from 1998, where Auto-Tune was used to create a robotic effect. And more recently, it's been a prominent feature of songs by Kanye West.
Somewhere far from home, in the danger zone. How many times did I tell you before I finally got through?
And T-Pain.
Let's get drunk, forget what we did. I'm buying your train.
A few weeks ago, we met up with Jim Anderson at Avatar Studios in Manhattan. He's an award-winning engineer and president of the Audio Engineering Society. Anderson showed us how pitch correction software works.
I've got an example here of a session that we did, and it's on a Kenny Barron album. The singer's name on this track is Gretchen Parlato. The singer is improvising, and she hits the seventh of the chord. And if she was all by herself, that would be fine. But what you'll hear at the very end is the pianist comes up and hits the same note. And it's just ever so slightly out. I took the liberty of just tweaking that note just ever so slightly. Very subtle thing. Just brought it down and just kind of tried to lock her in with the piano pitch. It's the only note in the entire record that was fixed, period. And, you know, the average listener is not going to know that I've straightened out that note a little bit.
When you played it for the musicians that recorded the CD, did they notice?
No, they didn't notice at all. In fact, it felt right. It felt on pitch. And the way I approach it is, if it takes my ear away from the music, then I should do something about it. But, you know, a lot of music, the inflection is like a bluesy infection. You don't want to be fixing everything, because then you've taken some of that humanity out of the singer.
So balance.
So let's get you in there and let's take
right.
the humanity out of
let's
it.
Let's take okay? the humanity out of it. Okay, down the hall
humanity.
And to the left.
This way, actually.
This way? No turning back now. Anderson led me down the hall to a small booth where we were linked up to the control room via video. From the control room, it looked like I was in some kind of cruel interrogation cell. In a way, I was.
You know, I've always been a dreamer. Spent my life running round. And it's so hard to change.
Now, not to make any excuses or anything, but it was a bit high for my range. and it was really hard to play it straight.
You know, I did detect a trace of Mrs. Miller in your voice there.
Yes, it was Mrs. Miller. I was channeling Joanne Worley.
That was different, wasn't it?
That really was something. What would you like to do?
Get a new voice?
All right, what do we got?
Well, here, I'll
do
I'll
have to listen to this?
Well, I'll show you this one phrase. I'll show you how we can slide in this one spot, okay?
I was thinking about a woman who might have loved me, and I never knew.
So, well.
Well, Professor.
It is a bit all over the place, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We can see a lot of waveringness. Yeah. See that? We're just going to flatten it out there. Right. We went there, so we're going to just pull that down. Okay.
I was thinking about a woman who might have loved me.
Hear how mechanical it's starting to sound? Mm-hmm. We've probably taken all the character out of the voice here.
I was thinking about a woman who might have loved me, and I never knew.
How far do you want to take this?
Oh, I think we've taken it about as far as we can go.
We've
taken
it to the limit.
One more time. I never want to hear that.
Down the hall at Avatar Studios, we found some real work going on. 22-year-old singer Sabrina Scott was laying down tracks for her debut recording.
Glass is hazy. I haven't wiped it clean because I've been lazy. Never saying what I mean. And there's a shape in the place of my heart.
In the control room, we met producer Diane Scanlon and asked her about using autotune.
It is something I've had to use on records in the past. A lot of my work is with young, just starting out artists. And so I'm vocal coaching them, and as the time and the budget starts running out, I have to pitch correct. And for projects that have a time frame, so important for me to just be able to get in there and correct.
How do you reach a balance between what's being represented artistically and what's being manipulated electronically?
I would say that depends on the project. I'll tell you, if it's over the top and the vocal is authentic and she meant it or he meant it, I don't care if it's out of tune.
The upside and downside of pitch correction, like anything else, is that it is a good tool.
Mike Fiseglia chimed in. He's a bass player we met at Avatar.
But the technology is so good that it creates singers out of people who really aren't singers, and it creates performances out of people that are really not performers.
What about concerts, however? Do audiences then have an expectation that the singer is going to be absolutely perfect, and then does that lead to manipulation on the concert stage as well?
Do they use autotune live as well?
It's used live, and in more cases than you would expect. A lot of really primary artists are using that stuff.
Is this your artist?
That's Sabrina Scott, yeah.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
Are you Sabrina?
Hello. I am.
I'm Leanne Hansen from National Public Radio.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. We're doing a story on technology and music, and we're asking people about autotune. Now, you're the artist. You're the artist whose voice might get
autotune.
Yeah, have you? Have you done it?
No, a little.
Slightly in the past, yeah.
Yeah?
Slightly.
Yeah.
But this is her baby, so
I'd like it to have a very organic sound, so one hopes that autotune would be a last resort.
Oh. So you're going into this project in the hopes that you won't need to do it?
Yes, absolutely.
And your producer says that it may be a little off pitch, but as long as it's got heart, she's more likely to go with the heart than pitch.
I'm glad she said that.
Think about the great singers out there. I mean, if you listen for intonation, yeah, you'd be horrified, but you believe them? Mm-hmm.
I think if you approach a recording session saying that you want to sing well that day, it's not the right attitude if you go in saying, I want to tell the story well, I want to say what I have to. I mean, we write songs and we sing for a reason because, you know, we believe we have something to say, I suppose. So I think if you go in and you express that, that's what the audience responds to.
From my window, I see